24th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. I'll read verses 3 through 7 again, and supporting scripture will be Revelation 6 and 17. Matthew 24, 3 through 7, Revelation 6 and 17. The Bible reads, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Revelations 6 and 17. "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" On the basis of those verses this morning, we'd like to use a thought or subject. Don't forget about the signs. Don't forget about the signs. It is amazing how you could even be having a restless night, but when you begin to call the name Jesus, he has a way of just sort of coming in and making everything seemingly all right, and he can just soothe you and comfort you and bring peace to your mind and to your heart. And some way he whispers to your voice and he whispers to your heart and say, it's going to be all right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that you can sort of steal away in your own zone, just you and your God, and you just unwind, just let him have it. Just let him know everything that's going on. Sometimes you just cry it out. Sometimes you talk it out. Hallelujah, Jesus. But some way or another, you will find that if you want peace of mind, you got to have some release. You got to release the pressures of life. You got to just let it go. And we say so many times, let go and let God. But how many of us really let God have it? Too many times we hold on to it and we keep on worrying and pondering about how we can fix it and how we can make it right and how we can do a little bit better. But I found out we cannot do anything without the power and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is somebody called Jesus that is better than any doctor, better than any lawyer, better than any friend that you've ever met walking upon this earth. And when you call on that name, Jesus, you got to have the mindset that I know that somehow, some way, God's going to work it out. Yes, sir. This is another day that God has made, and I'm excited. I'm excited just because I'm alive. I'm excited because, yes, I do have a pulse. I'm still kicking. I'm excited because all week long, God has watched over me and kept me, and not that I've done everything right, but the God that I love, the God that I serve, he still watched over me, and he kept and he took care of me every step of the way. Most of us in here, none of us can say that we're perfect. All of us can say that we need the Lord. And most of us can confer that at some time or another, God has stepped in and made some changes in my life. But I wonder this morning, do we really realize what a blessing it is just for us to be in this place? Despite what you might be going through, despite how you might feel this morning, it's just good to be here. Good to be in this part of the world where we are able to enjoy all of the seasons. We look up at a clear blue sky In a few weeks, our eyes shall witness God's splendid display of color as flowers and trees bloom all over. And then our sense of smell begin to be overwhelmed by the light, sweet smell of honeysuckle. You know how it is in the springtime, and you can just walk out and you can smell spring. You go out and you cut the grass and the grass smells so good. Even a summer shower, the rain smells so good. There's so many things that gets our attention and makes us realize that time brings about changes, and we are blessed people in that we are living in a place where we enjoy all of the seasons. Now, it's unfortunate that we do have to travel several hours to get to the ocean. But when we consider the threat and the possibility of hurricanes, it's all right to be inland. I'm glad to be inland. I'm glad to be able to go to the ocean. But I thank God that I'm not living by the ocean, because I know that I'd be scared. Every time the storm blow, they don't have to worry about putting the warning out and it's time to go. If it get too dark, I'm gone. Anytime you think that you got more power than the power of God, you crazy. Sometimes before we complain, we need to think about how good we have it. You worried about what they're doing and what the Joneses are doing, but just thank God that things are as well as they are in your life. I'm here to tell you that some of those folk that when you look on the outside and it look like they're doing all good, you don't know the struggle. You don't know the hell that they're going through. You don't know what they have to go through to keep what they got. And sometimes you think you want it. You don't want all those headaches. They learn how to deal with it. They learn how to sugarcoat it. They learn how to cover it up, and you can't see what they're actually going through. But in the midnight hour, they're scratching their head. In the wee hours of the night, they got their budget out. They got their bank book out, and they're trying to make ends meet, but ends just don't want to meet. Anybody in here got some ends that don't want to meet? When your end don't meet, who you call on? No need of walking around the neighborhood. Most of us broke, so don't knock on my door. You better call the Lord. I'm even learning how to stop complaining about the utility bill. I found that everybody else got a high bill too, so why you want to complain about yours? Join the club. You either going to have lights or you're not going to have lights. If you got lights, they're going to guarantee you got to pay for them. It is a fact that you can be poor financially and better than blessed. And I've learned as a believer that it's better off to be blessed than to consider yourself to have a whole lot. I don't care whether it's material things, whether it's money or what it is. A whole lot of things is nothing but things. You are allowed a certain amount of days to enjoy those things. So what are you doing with your time? All of us have been appointed a day that we got to die. Death itself gives us signs. When you start getting dizzy and you hadn't been being dizzy, something going on. When you've been walking all right and all of a sudden you got a little bit of a limp, something going on. And don't be crazy enough like we used to be and think it'll go away. Oh, no, it ain't going away by itself. You better pray to God for healing, or you better go get some medication, or you better go set yourself down somewhere and let your old body mend. When the body get old, it takes it longer to respond back. So don't think you're like you was when you were teenagers and when you was in your 20s and you run into a little trouble, you get a little sickness, and you just bounce right back. You don't bounce back no more. The spring done got out your sprawl. You have these thoughts in your mind, but most of you know that fuzz is going to go. Recognize the signs. When we talk about signs and warnings, I come to tell you this morning that we got to remember the signs. When you think about the world in which we live in, signs connect and actually offers communication through the usage of signs. We found that some signs may not fall in line with our thoughts or our plans because sometimes we think we know where we're going. And when we are traveling along the way and we see a sign that doesn't agree with what we thought, then we are puzzled. Should I go on what I think I know? Or should I follow the sign? We are led to believe that the sign is right. Somebody has studied. Somebody has sat down and figured this thing out. And they just didn't put the sign there to be there. It's there for a purpose. You got to understand sometimes that when you pass by a sign, have you ever heard someone in the automobile say, what did that sign say? Anybody ever heard that? Now, how many of you ever heard a sign talk? But we will say, what did that sign say? Sign didn't say nothing. Sign said, sit there. But when you read what's on the sign speaks to your mind. And that's what you hear. So signs are very important. When God gave me this last night, he gave it to me a little late. You know, I like to have some things. I like to have some props, and I like to have some things. And I was going to come up in here with some signs this morning. But I'm just going to have to talk it out. I can't show you what I'm talking about this morning. But now, when you see a sign, you got to learn how to be obedient and follow the sign. If the sign says, be quiet, that don't mean go in there talking with not even your inside voice. Quiet is quiet. If the sign says reserved, that means you're not able to sit there unless you have been informed that this seat is reserved for you. When you see a sign that says stop, it means stop. Not halfway stop. Creep up to the stop sign. Halfway put on brakes. Because you got somewhere to go, so you ain't got time to really stop. But you did slow down, and then all of a sudden the blue light come to remind you, did you not see the sign? We have a problem following signs. Signs sometimes points to and represent something larger more than itself. A sign is something that suggests a fact or a condition not immediately evident. A sign is considered a board or a place card bearing letters or symbols to relate or relay information. An event or an incident regarded as foretelling something. That is the definition that I want to lean on this morning. A sign where Jesus himself began to show us and teach us the signs of the time. as he talks about his predicted return to the earth and the destruction of the temple that is and shall come to pass. Now, over the last day and a half, if you've been keeping up with the news, think about the people in Japan. As they experienced the worst earthquake of record. As you watch the video coverage and you see how God has power enough to make the ground tremble. And as you see buildings folding and everything, just highways falling apart, and even it caused the whole ocean to turn into a whirlpool. You want to stay close to the ocean. But look at the impact of this earthquake. Thousands of lives have been lost. But then the aftermath. And then even I saw this morning where it says over 100 aftershocks after the major earthquake. So things are really just all shaken up. And think about the devastation of the people in that area. Now, first hit is Japan. And the Lord has just got everybody's attention. So now that he has their attention, the people in Hawaii, the people in California, they're on call because they realize that there's going to be something going on. And we got to get ready. And many of them has lost their lives because waves have reached up higher than 6 or 7 feet high. Do you not recognize the signs? The Bible says, when Jesus went out into the temple and he was talking to the disciples and he began to talk about that great temple, even though that temple was so magnificent and it was laid in gold and all of the great things that have been done there, everything was going to fall down. There was not going to be one stone left upon another. And the Bible said, Jesus said, you see all of these things, there will not be a stone left. Everything will be torn down. And then as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the Bible said he talked to the disciples and the disciples began to wonder. And they asked him privately after they got away from everybody else, oh, Master, tell us, what shall these things be and what shall be the sign of the coming of the end of the world? Jesus answers. He said, take heed, first of all, that no man deceive you. No man is able to tell you when God is going to come. He ought to be able to tell you that he is going to come, but he can't tell you when. Jesus says, many will come in his name, claiming to be for Christ, but they will deceive many. Jesus says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, meaning that there are going to be some wars going on, and then there are going to be some wars talked about that might happen. See that you don't get troubled by these things because that is not the end just quite yet. Then Jesus said, look at this nation and look at that nation. One going to rise against the other. There's going to be a shortage. Think about the devastation in Japan now. Think about those that are flooded out and not even so far across seas. Even when you look at the flooding in New Jersey, there are people there right now that their houses are covered in water. So now when all of these things happen and you don't have gas, you don't have electricity, you don't have the communication that you used to have, and it's going to take a long time to rebuild, but people still got to eat. People still got to have some way to lay their head. And then they're wondering, where are my loved ones? Think about it. If you were there and you couldn't put your hands on your loved ones, don't have communication, you can't call nobody. So you worry and you wonder. But I believe that you ought to be praying. You ought to be asking God. And I know that they were praying. I believe that folk had never prayed in their lives. When the ground began to rumble up under their feet. See, that's why I say we're in a good area. But let me tell you something about God. Don't get so comfortable. Don't get overconfident that it cannot happen here. Diverse places mean various places, meaning that it can happen anywhere God say. If God decide to put an earthquake right here up on the Fowl's Chapel. I tell you something. Some of you that hadn't been moving, you're going to move then. Let this flow start rocking. Just like it's on an axle. Tell me you won't start. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Where you at, God? Wake up a sleepyhead. Then the God says, these things should just be the beginning of your sorrows. Then they'll deliver you to be afflicted, kill you, hate you, just because you love Jesus. Many will be offended. Many will betray one another. We already know hate is already abounding. We call it white on black. Now it's black on Mexican. It's just all the way something. We just cannot get along. But one thing about it, it says that the word, it tells us that the word of God is true. Because the Bible says, false prophets shall rise and deceive many, but because of the iniquity, because of sin, the love of many will grow cold. So, not going to love you like they used to. Not going to treat you like they used to. But you got to know that God is going to be right there by your side. You got to know that this is talking about a time of tribulation. And it's nothing like the ups and downs that you're going through right now. When you go through this tribulation period, you know, we like to use that term in this life. You're going to have trials and tribulations. See, I love when I learned that scripture, Brother Stick, because when I learned that, I thought I was saying something. Because I knew that in this life, most of us have had trials and tribulations. So that's something that we can all agree with. That's something that we are accustomed to. That is something that we will understand. But the good thing in that is that Jesus said, but be of good cheer. Because I've already overcome the world. But those of you that have good cheer, I come to tell you that this tribulation period ain't going to be a time to be joking. This is not going to be a time to be playing church. This is not going to be a time to just be going through the motion. But you better learn the signs of the judgment. Because Jesus is soon to come. You better know that God wants somebody this morning that'll know that if the Lord comes tonight, that he shall be able to stand. John asked a question in Revelation. Who shall be able to stand? Just because I'm a preacher does not mean I'll be able to stand. Just because they are deacons does not mean they'll be able to stand. But those that endure until the end, those that love God with all of their heart, you see, the thing is, if you live until God comes back, there's going to be a tribulation period. And the Bible says this morning, who shall be able to stand? When we look at the end of the world, let us go here in the 6th chapter of Revelation. When we see the 7 seals, the gap to be opened. The Bible says, I saw the Lamb and he opened up the seal. And I heard it was a noise of thunder. Say, come and see. I saw a white horse, and he that sat on the white horse had a bow and a crown, and was given to him that he went forth conquering and to conquer. But don't get it twisted. This was not the crown of Jesus. This was the Antichrist going about seeing who he can devour, trying to pull more folk in on his journey. Then on the second seal, When the second seal opened, it said that he would have power and begin to create war. There would be war going on all over the land. Brothers and sisters would fight against one another. Families would fall apart. Father won't love their child. Mother won't love their children. It'll be a time of devastation. But I come to tell somebody that if you hold on and hold out, that God will make a way out of no way. Then on the third seal, there'll be a famine in the land. Whenever trouble come and devastation come, there'll be a food shortage, a water shortage, electricity shortage. We don't have the thing that we used to have. But one thing I thank God that we always got. We always are going to have Jesus, for he's going to be right there. But then the Bible said, when he opened up the fourth seal, he heard a voice saying, come and see. And I looked and I saw a pale horse. And on that horse there was a man by the name of Death. Death is going to come and it's going to rock this whole world. But I thank God this morning that God got somebody that is standing up for what's right. And then on the fifth seal, there were those that have already been slain for loving God all of their life. And the Bible said they cried out with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou not judge and avenge the blood on them that dwell on the earth? The Bible said he gave them white robes and gave it to every one of them that they should rest yet for a little season, because they got to stay there until Jesus himself comes. And then we got to understand that after the sixth seal opened, that's when everything began to happen. The moon became his blood. The stars of heaven fell down to the earth. And they began to realize the kings of the earth, all of the great men, all of the rich men, all of the captains, all of the mighty men, all of the bound men, found themselves in the den. And they began to say, hide me from the rocks that are falling down. But on the seventh seal, it was silent. There wasn't anything going on. But I stopped by South Chapel to tell somebody this morning, don't forget about the sign. You heard of the earthquake, and the earthquake was real. So that ought to let you know that your time is running out. That ought to let you know that it's time to get your house in order. Don't forget about the sign. You better hold on and hold out, knowing that God will make a way out of no way. Don't forget about the sign. When you see that we don't have the love that we used to have, when you see that it seemed like most of us are falling by the wayside, look at the signs. Don't forget those signs. That earthquake, it's a sign. And I believe that to those people, it has more meaning because they were directly affected. But what God told me to tell you, it don't get so comfortable because we're in this place. But do know that when the time comes for destruction, that even right here in Lexington, doesn't matter whether any water around us or not, God can just make sure that even the water pipes that we got under the ground, bust all of them open. He can get water from anywhere he want to get water. He can do anything that he wants to do. But what God is telling us, don't get so comfortable and not recognize the signs of the end. For Jesus is soon to come. And think about it. What is soon? Because as he talked with the disciples, they were looking at their end. And look at all these years later. We are still preaching and talking about the same thing. So that lets us know that it's gotten closer. And every day it gets a little bit closer. And none of us know. It could be today. So if it happens today, where will your soul spend eternity? Will you be a sheep or a goat? Will you be wheat or will you be the tares? They're going to be gathered to be put in the barn and burned eternally. It's your choice. Don't wait until tomorrow to decide your destiny today. Because this is the day that the Lord has made.